with you. Fatima's testimony of what the Lord has done for her. And last week, for those of you that weren't here, I'm just going to quickly recap some of the things that we have shared so far. We basically shared, Fatima was explaining what her life was like before she was delivered. Fatima, this might be a good time for you to just quickly come and say hi to the people first.
Hello, everybody.
Wow, you got good manners. Bless God.
Amen.
Come on, everybody, give the Lord a hand for this woman. So, Fatima, just quickly recap. Maybe just in your own words, tell the people what your life was like before, number one, you met Jesus, and number two, He set you free from all those chokos.
Yeah. It's the way they say you don't live, you exist. Basically, I was existing, not living. I had very hard times and a lot of problems, not knowing that I need deliverance. I thought it was normal what was happening to me. And yes, the Lord touched my life. He changed my life. And what can I say more?
Tell them a little bit. Just go back again before you met Jesus. What would be a typical day in the life of Fatima?
Rage, swearing, depression, cursing, you name all the bad things.
And what did you used to do to try and get rid of all of this stuff?
Take pills.
Okay. Now, you heard that she made a statement there that she wasn't living, she was just existing. Do you notice that there is a very definite difference between those two words? Why did Jesus come, Werner? John 10:10. The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Jesus Christ came into this world, became a man just like you and I, God in the flesh, walked this planet and was ridiculed by just about everybody so that He could give His life for you and I. So that in return for my meager existence, in return for my depression, in return for my anxiety, in return for my fear, in return for my hopelessness and my worthlessness, my low self-esteem, my panic attacks, my rage, my whatever, I could receive His life that conquered all of that rubbish on the cross.
Amen.
Amen. And you see, when you meet that man Jesus and you receive His life and you allow Him to transform and change you, then you move over, the Bible says, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Everybody, quickly, let's do an experiment. Close your eyes. What do you see?
Nothing.
Nothing. If you tell me you see something now, then you're going to have to come forward. Because you didn't hear correctly. We will lay hands on your ears. You aren't going to see anything if your eyes are closed. And my friend, that's the harsh reality. There are a lot of people right now going through life without realizing it, but they hardly see anything. Because God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. But there are a lot of people that think they know God, but they are still living in darkness. And Jesus Christ wants to give you the light. He wants to give you that life so that you can begin to live that life. Fatima, are you living that life now?
Oh, yeah.
Just look at the smile. Come on, just look at that smile. Hey? Well, bless
God. I will not change this life for anything and not end money this world.
Bless God. All right. So, she had a tough life. And we shared with you last week how I came to her house because they were going to put her in a mental institution, and they had told her husband that he must please put her in there and throw away the key because there's no way that he can live with her any longer. She was a danger to herself and she was a danger to her family. How many times did you try and kill your husband?
That I remember, twice.
Twice.
But he deserved it.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Okay. I was just going to say we will be praying for you first tonight. All right. Look, with all due respect, he might have deserved it at that moment, but probably not to die. Now, The one time you tried to shoot him, am I right?
Yeah.
Tell them a little bit about that day. You remember.
We had an argument about his mom, and he pushed me and he hit me, and he had his gun on the side of the table on our room, and I felt so hurt because, you know, he took his mother and he was like accusing me of something that it wasn't true, and he took his mother's word, and some rage came over me. It was like hatred, rage. And what I remember, I grabbed the gun to shoot him, and the gun locked. And then he went out and he phoned my brother, my younger brother Carlos, to come and fetch me because I was out of my mind. And that was the day that my brothers, they decided, this is not good, this is not going anywhere. We must do something about it. Mm. Yeah, but the gun locked.
Well, how many of you believe that the gun didn't just lock? God had his finger there? Amen. You see, the devil came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And right there, when she grabbed that gun, I hope you noticed that she said that this overpowering rage. Could you control the rage?
No.
At that stage, she couldn't control it because it was controlling her. And its intention was twofold. Number one, that she should kill her husband, because then the devil has taken care of killing the husband. But then he has also taken care of destroying her life and her children's life. Which, in other words, he is manifesting exactly what he came to do. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But at that moment, God said, you know what, I have a different plan for this woman. I have a different destiny for her life, and I will not allow this to happen. Because one day she will stand and testify about these things, and she will show people that I still give life.
Amen.
Amen. Your destiny is not coupled to what Satan wants for your life. Your destiny is coupled to God. Every person that is born in this world is placed on this planet for a specific reason and for a specific purpose. Now, Fatima Ki, I think we probably did speak about some of these things last week, but you did try many things to try and sort of deal with your problems and cope with your problems.
Yes.
Just give them a bit of a understanding, some of the things before you knew Jesus. What were the things that you were doing to try and cope with your problems?
Okay, psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors, witch doctors, anything they used to tell me, listen, if you go around the corner, someone there can help you. I used to go. I didn't care. I didn't know who was. I just be there. And yeah, I did a lot of evil into my life, not knowing that I was doing evil. To me, it was normal to go into a witch doctor, or to go into a palm reader, or to go for help, a little bit of muti to help with my problems. Mm. I didn't know much.
All right. You see, none of us can judge her for the things that she has done. Because firstly, we haven't lived the life that she's lived. We didn't go through the things that she went through. But secondly, you also, in a way, can't blame her for the decisions that she made and for the choices that she made and the things that eventually happened in her life, because she tried what was generally acceptable. Go to the psychiatrist, go to the psychologist, take the pills, go to the doctor, and there was never any change. Now, if the natural can't fix it, then maybe the supernatural can, and that's why a lot of people go to fortune tellers. That's why a lot of people go to witch doctors. That's why a lot of people try things, not realizing that they are going to make their problems umpteen times worse. Because you see, the thing is, when you walk into the witch doctor's hut, or when you walk into the gypsy's wagon, or wherever you might be going, they are going to tell you, yes, I can help you. Yes, I will sort out all your problems. And it sounds like manna from heaven, because this is going to fix my life. But what they don't tell you is which power is working through them. Because you see, the thing is that you have to understand there are two sources of supernatural power in this world. And God is not the only one with power, my friend. Satan does have power.
Yes.
And if you try and make like he doesn't have power, you are just plain stupid, because he has a lot of power. Please note that I'm not saying that he is all powerful, because God is all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But there are billions of people that are addicted to witchcraft, and they wouldn't have gone back if it didn't do something for them in the first place. Hello? A lot of the stuff that they give people to do actually works. But I've explained this before, and I'm going to just explain it tonight because there's a lot of visitors. A witch doctor cannot fix your problems because Jesus is the healer. Satan cannot heal, but he can manipulate things.
Mm.
So, Fatima, you remember last week I said to you, you go to the witch doctor and you've got depression, and then what does he give you in return?
Give you headaches, migraines, anything else.
Aye, last week you said diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
Yeah.
I forgot.
That is exactly how it works. You see, the devil can't take away a problem, but he can change it. It's like painting over. You see, if you've got big rust on your car, if you put a bit of body putty there and you spray it quickly, when the guy comes to buy it, everything looks fine.
Mm.
But you see, you've just caused a bigger problem because now the rust is trapped.
Mm.
And now it's going to spread much quicker, and it's going to cause like gangrene. Now that's what happens when you go to a witch doctor. They put a band-aid on a crater the size of Mount Vesuvius, and they tell you now everything is fine. It's not fine. You will walk in there, like she says, with a headache, with a migraine, with this, with that, which is probably caused by some spirit in your life anyway. And the witch doctor works through spirits. That is how they manage to do the things they do. So they will communicate with the spirits giving you a hard time, and they will say, listen, yeah, this individual expects some changes in their life. So right now, you can't give them migraines anymore. But you are free to give them piles, lots of diarrhea, lots of depression, lots of anxiety. You understand?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, when you went there, you gave the devil more place. If you give him more place, he has more power to do things in your life. So Fatima Ki, now, last week you said to us that you had to bath in chicken blood and you had to do all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Did it actually work?
No, but I have to add something to that, and
yes,
for something that you said now. For a while, things, they look like they're working.
They are better.
Things, they think like they're coming better. But then it comes a time that everything falls in the same time, like everything, and that more and more is coming against you.
All right.
And your question, it didn't help.
Okay. So it's very important to hear what she says. Initially, when you do these things, there does seem to be a change.
Mm-hmm.
You do feel better for a while, but only for a while. And then suddenly everything changes and it gets a lot worse. Now, here's my second question. What did it used to cost you to do these things?
A lot of money.
A lot of money. You were sharing with me the one time, I think, when you went to the guy with the chicken and all the stuff, it was a couple of thousand rand, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was 2,500 rands the first day, and then the third day, that was the last day that he did his ritual, I have to give him another 2,000 rands.
Almost 5,000 rands to just mess up your life, huh? And you see, the devil is winning again. Why? Because he came to steal firstly. He's just stolen 5,500 rand. And he's laughing at you because, number one, you're going to have nothing to show for it. In fact, not just nothing. He's now got the power to steal even more from you. And secondly, now your finances are cursed because you have just taken money and sown it into Satan's kingdom. And you see, what you sow, you will reap. Now, when we sow money into something good, or we sow money into our children's education, or we sow money into God's kingdom, or something good, something godly, there will always be a good harvest. There will always be a good return. When you sow money into Satan's kingdom, there will always be destruction that will follow upon your life, especially financially. All right. Fatima Ki, let's move on. The first day that I met you, you and I... We prayed the sinner's prayer.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
And for those of you that were here last week, we shared with you that it took us a couple of hours to just pray a simple sinner's prayer with her, because every time I tried to lead her to Christ, the demons would begin to manifest in her and they would try and stop her. The very first time that I told her that I was going to pray with her so that she can become a child of God, she let out this blood-curdling scream, dashed into the kitchen and came out with a knife, ready to fight. And I think we were 3 or 4 or 5 people, I can't remember. We all had to fight and physically restrain her to get the knife out of her hands. Why was the evil spirits in her reacting that way? What would you say? The young man has got his hands up. Daddy, you'll have to answer for him. Did he say that? How old is he now? My goodness. 5 years old. Listen to what that young man says. Because it was threatening their home. Bless God, he's right. You see, the thing is, when you meet Jesus Christ, you will move from darkness into light.
Amen.
When you meet with Jesus Christ, you meet with the healer, you meet with the deliverer, and you meet with the savior, which is all of the things that the Chochmah doesn't want for your life. So they will do anything to try and stop that. And I shared with you that a lot of people can't understand why they try and share the gospel with somebody and they are just vehemently opposed. They don't want to listen. They're not interested. They might not be a physical manifestation, but the evil one is fighting back. He doesn't want this to happen in that person's life. Right. Fatimaki, we had to clean your house because you had some pretty hair-raising chochos in your house. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And the interesting thing that I shared with you is that Fatima had no problem getting rid of things that were wrong because she was the one going through all the turmoil. But her husband had a big problem with getting rid of some of the stuff because, you see, even though he was exposed to the problem, he didn't suffer under the problem as she did. So when we told him to take the masks off, he was happy to take the masks off. When we told him the Buddha must go, yeah, okay, the Buddha can go. We told him some of the Muslim stuff must go, yeah, no, that's fine, they can go. And at that stage, he was still a Muslim. Today, he's not. But then he was. But then we spoke about his DVDs. And we didn't get a very good reaction, did we?
No.
Yay. Instantly, there was big animosity in the room because now we want to get rid of his favorite pastime. At that stage, all he used to do in his life was do what?
Watching DVDs.
All he used to do, he would get home at night, he would put a DVD in and he would watch the DVD until he falls asleep.
Yeah.
He had a couple of thousand DVDs. Now, again, I want to say to you that not all of them were evil. It's like music. You know, Satan, when he was still up in heaven, was called Lucifer. And when he was still in heaven and he was called Lucifer, he was in charge of praise and worship. He was like the band leader. He was the choir leader. And he had all the gifting within him to be able to make magic through music. And the funny thing is, when he got kicked out of the heavens, he didn't lose any of his abilities. Because Romans 11 verse 29 says, the gift and the call of God are irrevocable. Listen to me. The gift and the call of God are irrevocable. Now, if the Bible says that, then it's also true for Satan. If he had the ability to do wonderful things with music up there, then he still has the same ability, but there is one big difference. When he was up there, he used it for the glory of God. When he's down here, he uses it to destroy. So there is a type of music that is extremely destructive and that will give the devil an enormous amount of place. But we can't generalize and say all music is now evil. All right, you don't have to get rid of Pavarotti, you understand, he's all right. We don't always understand the man so lekker, but he's okay. But there is a type of music out there that Satan uses to bring people to him. And you must be very careful. And it is the same with movies. Now, there's nothing wrong with Bambi. You can keep your Bambi collection. But you got to watch out for things like Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist, Amityville. Help me out, Joe.
Identity.
What?
Identity.
The Entity.
Identity.
Identity, what's that?
It's a movie, a horror movie.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
Identity. Yeah, she said it. Horror movies. Movies about witchcraft. Movies about the occult. I said to you last week that when, I think it was about in the 97, 99, somewhere around there, there was a movie that came out, The Craft. It was very big with teenagers. It was about four witches, teenage witches. They discovered this book of spells or something, and they would sit and they would do these spells, and they would chant, and they would do all, and they actually showed them doing these things, sitting in the pentagrams and doing chants, and the teenagers would try and do that, and then suddenly their lives would just fall apart. Instantly, they would become rebellious towards their parents. Instantly, they would become fascinated with gothic music and heavy metal, but really bad, evil type of music. Why? Because they were exposed to the realm of Satan by what they saw. Satan can influence your life in a couple of ways. He can influence your life by what you see, because what you see comes into you. All right? What I see with my eyes comes into me. It doesn't go out, it comes in. And my ears, what I hear. Those two things are gateways to my soul. All right? When you listen to a sermon, it is a gateway to your soul, to equip your soul with the power of God to bless God. But you could also use your ears to listen to other things that will give you a gateway to Satan's kingdom. All right? When you listen to chanting and you listen to spells and incantations and all sorts of rubbish like that, when you listen to things that are from Satan's kingdom, then unfortunately you are not allowing the Spirit of God to speak into your soul. You are allowing the things of the devil. And so we must be very careful. And as you will remember last week, when we spoke to Muhammad about these things, he was very adamant that this cannot have any influence over him or his family. It's just movies. And I was busy there, and I had these two piles. One, these can stay, these must go. These can stay, these must go, based on the content. And the bigger the go pile got, the more upset and angry he got, until the demon inside of this woman went ballistic, jumped on the DVDs, and told me in no uncertain terms that I can't have them, they belong to him. And that this is giving him power. And then it looked at her husband and it started laughing at him and it said to him, "You are so stupid. I work through these things. I mess with you through these things." And his eyes went very big. And the next moment he disappeared. Where did he go?
According to what you said, because I wasn't there, he went to fetch a plastic bag to put the things inside to burn them.
Yeah. You see, he needed nothing other than to get it straight from the horse's mouth. He ran out there, he came back with two checkers bags, he disappeared and he went and burnt it. So, let's talk about that. They had stuff in their home that gave the devil place. That is one of the things that Christians can get very upset about. Yeah, but Rian, you don't understand. I don't put any value in that. To me, it's just an object. My friend, let me help you out here. It's got nothing to do with how you look at it. It's got to do with how two other people look at it. How does God view it and how does Satan view it? If Satan views it as his property, then you've got a problem. Because he's allowed to be where his property is. If you've got stuff in your house that belong to the devil, my friend, you will have problems because he's got access to your house because of the stuff that you have there. Mm-hmm. Now, we've mentioned she did have a Buddha. Why did you have the Buddha? What was he doing there?
Because we thought it was a lucky thing to have it.
Ah, for good luck.
Yeah, we used to rub the tummy and...
Oh. Now, I don't want to be funny, but have you listened to what life she used to lead? Come on.
I grew up this way. I didn't know better.
No, I understand. But let's just talk about the fallacy that will bring you good luck. You heard her life, suffering from depression, having these weird fits, panic attacks, anger, rage, trying to kill her husband twice. How many of you understand that good luck definitely didn't work?
No.
It definitely didn't work. There are a lot of things that we put our faith and our beliefs in that will get us into trouble. Good luck charms are not from God. So, she had to get rid of these things because it is impossible to set her free. It is impossible to deliver her if she's got things everywhere that keep calling these things back. And now Christians say, yeah, but you know what? To me it's just a nice picture, to me it's just a symbol, to me it's just a... My friend, listen to me. If it's part of the kingdom of darkness, then it belongs to the prince of darkness. Then he has the right to come into your house. It doesn't matter how many times you have anointed your house. It doesn't matter how many times you've prayed the Lord's Prayer or any other prayer, because his stuff is there, he can materialize out of it.
Yes.
And he will be there. And he will give you a hard time. I remember we went and prayed for your niece.
Yes.
You remember the story?
Yes.
Tell them a little bit about what was going on in her life at that stage.
Okay, she was about 4 or 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's now 11 years old. The mother decorated the room with fairies. All around the borders, the doorway was fairies. Everything was just about fairies. And this child, she used to never sleep at night. She used to be very frightful. She used to say that she used to hear things speaking to her. And she says there was things inside of the room. In the beginning, we didn't actually took it serious because we thought, you know, she's 5 years old, what she knows about these things. Until one day, my brother actually saw something very weird in the room. And I spoke to Rian about that. And Rian, he prayed for her. She used to have an imaginary friend. To me, it was a demon that used to speak to her. She used to go into a corner and speak by herself and answer and question. And sometimes we thought this child, she's losing it. Until we find out it was an imaginary friend. And Rian came and prayed for her. And that imaginary friend, he was gone forever. And she was set free. And out of her own heart, she says to the mother that she wants the mother to destroy the fairies in that room because fairies, at night, they come and speak to her. That's what happened. And we believe it was demons. They used to come and speak to her.
For her mother, when I spoke to her, she found it very strange because she probably grew up with fairies as well. But let's quickly just talk about it. Where do fairies come from? For those of you that don't know, fairies probably originate from Ireland, all right? And there they are worshipped, all right? Now the Word of God says, I will not share my glory with any other, right? God refuses to share His glory with any other thing. Now that means fairies, Buddha, any false god, Shiva, Krishna, that receives worship is under God's judgment. Why? Because they are stealing the glory of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Great I Am. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Now, a lot of people in this world don't know that, and therefore they worship false gods. Fairies are false gods. Coupled to that, the fact that they all work through witchcraft. We all know that Tinkerbell flies around with her little wand and she sprinkles magic pixie dust all over the place. But that is witchcraft, my friend, no matter how you look at it. And the Word of God makes one thing very plain. A child of God is to have nothing to do with any form of witchcraft. It is unacceptable. In fact, in the Old Testament, if they caught you messing with witchcraft, there was orders, the law was such that they had to take you outside the city and stone you instantly. That was the punishment for witchcraft. And let me just say that if God still worked that way, the population would be a third of what it is right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we tend to do these things. Not necessarily because we want to upset God, but because we don't know better. Because we weren't taught the right way. And it also had to come from her daughter's mouth before the mother would accept that there was a problem. I prayed for another family in Pretoria once. Same situation, the child would not sleep at night, the child had behavioral problems, the school had called the mother in and said they better do something about this child, big problems, big stress. And they tried all sorts of things and nothing wanted to work. They had the child with psychiatrists and psychologists and the whole toot. Nothing changed. I went there to their house to go and pray with them. When I walked into the room, the first thing that I saw was fairies, fairies, fairies everywhere. When I spoke to the mother about it, the mother had a fit. How dare I say that there is a problem with these things? But you know what? I have to speak the truth. Because the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I calmed her down and I began to explain things to her. And I spoke to her and then the little girl also said, Mommy, if it's not from Jesus, I don't want it. Praise God for childlike faith. And the little girl said, if it has to go, it has to go. And you know what? As the mother and the father began to take those fairies out of the room, you could actually feel the heaviness begin to build in the room. And at one stage, it was like there was something that physically and audibly manifested in the room. Like, I can't explain it. But the mom and the dad jumped this high when it happened. And the dad took one look at what just happened there and he grabbed everything and he threw it out the door. And you know what? There was an instant transformation in that child's personality, in the way that she reacted towards her parents, and for the first time she could sleep alone at night in her room. Why? Because there was no more place for stupid demons to come into her room. A lot of, especially us westernized people, find it extremely difficult to believe that these things are real, because we did not grow up that way. Fatima said to you just now, she made a statement, I grew up this way. You see, in her culture, these things were always a reality. I come from an Afrikaans background. Okay, we don't even call them demons. Ons noem hulle net spooke. And everybody tells you, daar is nie so 'n ding so spooke nie. You understand? So therefore, when somebody begins to talk to you about these things, of course in the beginning you are sort of antagonistic and you are upset because, but there are no such things. My friend, go read your Bible. The Bible says they are real. Jesus did three things. He preached the word of God. Actually, Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom of God, which now has become the word of God. But Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom. And then as an extension of his preaching, he would minister to people in two areas, healing and deliverance. You do not find Jesus preaching without casting evil spirits out of people. Why not? Because people have evil spirits. It's a fact of life. If you've given the devil place, whoop, he's there. And he needs to be chased out. My friend, evil spirits don't leave of their own accord. They like their house. Jose, you've got a nice house, haven't you? Yes, you do. If somebody tells you tomorrow to get out of your house, what are you going to do? You're going to fight for it. That's exactly how it works in the spiritual realm. When an evil spirit has to leave, you got to make him leave. And the only way to make him leave is to have more power than what he has. And the wonderful thing is, just wave at me. Every one of you waving at me now has more power than the evil one. Because greater is he that lives in me than he that comes from the world. Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. If the gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds that they cannot understand the glory of the gospel of peace. Satan is the God of this world, and the one that lives in me, Jesus Christ, is more powerful and has conquered the spirit of this world. So we can make it go. But we have to get to the place that we understand how these things work and that we are willing to deal with these things. There are very few things in this world that get people hot under the collar as quickly as them finding out that I actually have to get rid of something in my house. It's almost like they feel like it's a personal attack upon them. It's not a personal attack upon you. All right? But surely, if you are a child of God, you want to know what's right and you want to know what's wrong. You know what? I can't make you, and nobody can make you get rid of anything. That's a choice you have to make. But surely, if there is a time bomb ticking in your house, wouldn't you just like somebody to come and point it out and say, man, that thing's going to explode in the next 2 hours? Because the thing is, if you don't take it out and it explodes, you will be affected by the explosion. And that is very true. We are affected by the things that we bring into our house. Fatima,
I want to say something before
you
go further. When you say about my culture, it's true. I'm a Portuguese person. In my culture, it's normal, and I'm not saying everybody does that, those things, but most of them, they do. They go to Sunday church, and then in the week they go see a witch doctor for any problem, or if the husband beats them up, or if the husband has got a drink problem, they go to the witch doctor for a fix-up. Most of them, they do it. Or if they're in love with somebody that has got nothing to do with them, they will fix that person up because he has to have a relationship with that person. And I grow up this way because to my family, to go to a witch doctor is something from God. That's what I used to hear. It's nothing wrong to go to a witch doctor. And for me to go to this kind of places, it was normal. I actually thought this is from God. But I made a big mistake because it wasn't from God. I didn't know God.
Fatima, I remember that as we were praying for her. Now, let me just explain something to you. What we used to do is, especially in the beginning when I started praying for her, because she was so demonized. I'm sorry, I know I'm interrupting myself, but I want to say something. Let me actually ask you a question. Can a child of God be possessed by the devil?
Yes.
All right. Who says yes? Who says no? All right. Now, let me put it to you this way. You are both right, but you don't all understand the question correctly. So let me explain to you where I'm going with this. A child of God belongs to who?
To God.
To Jesus. Right? Now, the word possession implies that they belong to Satan, which is a contradiction in terms. We can't have that. So, especially the King James Version is often translated, and Jesus expelled, Jesus prayed for this person that was demon-possessed, or he expelled the demon from a demon-possessed person. Now, the translation is wrong. The word that is translated there is the word, I believe, if I remember correctly, daimonizimai, which means under the influence of an evil spirit. It doesn't mean under the control, right? Under the influence. Not belong to, under the influence of. Now, Christians can be a child of God, yet still be under the influence of an evil spirit. Which makes a lot of sense. Because, you see, I can believe one thing, but when I speak to another person, he can influence my beliefs, and then I'm just not 100% sure anymore. So Christians can be under the influence of. If you take an apple, and it has a rotten spot, does that mean that the whole apple is rotten?
No.
If you take a knife and you cut out that rotten piece, then you've still got probably 95-98% healthy apple. Now that's how it is with Christians. You can be a child of God, yet have an area of your life where Satan exerts a powerful influence. Now, Fatimaki, you accepted Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The first day that you and I met.
Yes.
You prayed a prayer of salvation and you felt the Holy Spirit come into you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yet you still had a long way to go before you were delivered.
5 years.
5 years. It took 5 years to get all the demons out of this woman. Now that's where a lot of Christians have a huge problem with this. Because they believe and they were taught that the Spirit of God and evil spirits cannot dwell in the same house. My friend, the Holy Spirit is not intimidated by the little chochos in you. And without the Holy Spirit's help, you can't get rid of them. Because you can't get rid of them in your own power. He has to come in to help you to clean the house. Jesus said, if I, by the finger of God, by the Spirit of God, cast out evil spirits, then the kingdom of God has come upon you.
Amen.
One of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to deal with the works of darkness. One of the names of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is Ruach. And Ruach also means the warlike energy of God. Did you know that? The warlike energy of God. Now, when does God need to wage war? When you and I come to church? No. When He sees the power of darkness exerting influence over us, then the Holy Spirit is there to help us to deal with these things. Christians can need deliverance. Think about it this way. Why do Christians commit suicide? Is it because the Holy Spirit made them do that? Is it because that was God's destiny for their life? Never. It is not ever God's destiny for anybody to take their own life. That was Satan exerting influence over that person's life and changing their destiny. And Satan can change your destiny. I'll prove it to you later on in the series. If you give him the power to do so. I think I've shared this probably, but I never forget the lady that came to me. She was suffering from depression. That told me that she's a Christian and she wants me to understand that she doesn't have demons. Demons can't be with her because she's a child of God and she's got depression. And she's got medical proof that she suffers from a chemical imbalance in her brain. Fine, of course I have to accept that. But God knows the truth. And so does the devil. And so guess what happened when I prayed for her? The depression that she doesn't have began to scream out of her. And when I told her to leave, the demon told me, I'm medically certified, I don't have to go. But I still cast him out and he still had to go. But you see, she was also taught that a child of God cannot have a devil. I remember another man, actually another woman came to see me once. You used to have epilepsy, didn't you?
Yes, many years ago.
Yeah, have you ever had another epileptic fit?
Never again.
Never again.
Mm.
Because we cast that demon out of you, didn't we?
Amen.
Now, another woman came to see me. She had epilepsy. And she had a couple of other problems. And she asked that I would pray with her. And I explained to her how deliverance works and blah, blah, blah. And I said to her, I will pray for you and, you know, we will see what God will do. And the moment I prayed for her, she had an epileptic fit. How many of you know that that's not right?
Mm.
Hmm? I mean, God doesn't work that way. God doesn't give people fits when you pray for them, but the devil does. Why? Because he's manifesting what he's doing in our life. And if you go and read your Bible, you will see that when Jesus prayed for that one boy to get a demon out of him, he fell down on the floor, he had seizures, and he began to foam at the mouth. What is that?
Epilepsy.
That's epilepsy.
Yes.
All right? And the disciples couldn't cast the demon out, so Jesus eventually came, and he did cast the demon out. So when I prayed for this woman, she fell down, she began to manifest, she began to foam at the mouth, and the demon left her. So 6 months later, her husband phones me. He's very excited. His wife has completely changed. Even her personality has changed. She's so different. He also wants prayer. Okay, good. So he comes to see me, and he wants me to pray for him. But in our conversation, it becomes apparent that she never told him she was delivered. I think she was too afraid to tell him. She just told him that the Lord healed her. And she wasn't wrong. But how did he heal her? By setting her free from an evil spirit. And so I realized that this man doesn't really know what happened. And I thought to myself, well, I better tell him. And when I told him, he was highly upset. How on earth can I imply that his wife had evil spirits? He knows his wife. He's known her for many years. There is no way that she had devils. And I said to him, look, I can see that you're upset right now. Just sit down. I want to show you a couple of things in the Bible. And I began to show him how Jesus prayed for people. And I showed him what happened. And you know what? The Bible often says that Jesus healed people, but then demons actually came out of them.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Matthew chapter 12, you read that Jesus cast a demon out of a man that was both blind and mute, and he was healed. Yes, he was healed, but how was he healed? By being delivered from an evil spirit that caused infirmity in his life.
Yes.
You see, healing and deliverance often go hand in hand, and sometimes it's impossible to tell which one has taken place. And most people need deliverance more than what they need healing, even though they're not always open to understand this. And so I showed him a lot of scriptures in the Bible, and when I was finished, I will never forget, the man sat there and he looked at me and he said, you know what? I've been a Christian now for, let's say, 20 years. I can't remember what he said. He said, and in all those years, I've probably read through my Bible 3 or 4 times. And I've sat in church every Sunday and I've listened to how many sermons. But you know what? It's like I've never seen or heard the scriptures that you've just mentioned. I said to him, no, you did. But because you were not open to them and because they didn't make sense to you, you were just, in your brain, you would just put it one way, one side. And that's how we are. When we read something in the Bible that doesn't really make sense to us, or we haven't been exposed to it, then it's like, ah, that was in those days, you know, like, okay, skip. Ah, this looks good. I'll read this. And that's how a lot of people look at this stuff. They say that this is not relevant because it's not for me. It is for you and it is for me. Because we are living in the last days. And the Bible tells us very plainly that in the last days there will be terrible times. People will become lovers of themselves, lovers of what is not good. They will be proud, they will be abusive. They will become haters of their parents, etc., etc. And that is a manifestation of the amount of evil that is in this world right now. And guess what? You and I are the only ones that are really equipped to deal with this. Because unless the Spirit of God is in you, you cannot deal with that stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Fatimaki. When I started off, I actually wanted you to tell the people, you remember you used to be involved in this weird cult? Tell them why you went there in the first place and some of the stuff that happened. Just what you feel you can say.
Okay. I had this friend of mine, a client of mine, that she knew this Muslim guy, in Walkerville, and she knew that I was very sick. And one day she says to me, listen, I'll take you to this man, and I'm sure this man he will help you. And she took me one evening, me, my husband, her, and the husband, and the mother, we all went to this place. And this guy was a very weird guy, but I actually thought in my heart, probably he's going to help, because I saw authority in this man. We went in, and not knowing what I was expecting, we sit in the floor. It was this carpet that was black and green, and he says to me, you sit in the middle. And I sat in the middle, and he asked questions about me. And a few questions I answered, the other questions I didn't remember. And then my husband used to help me, or my friend used to interfere and help also. And the next moment this guy says to me that you will help me through my problem. And he started rub my wrists. And he was praying in a language that I don't know. And fear, a lot of fear came into my heart, and I started feeling very, very cold. I felt like my whole life was taken out of my body. And the next moment I went into a trance. For 5 hours this man used my spirit, and he sent my spirit to England to mess up with a family that, you know, he's much more involved than I can share with all of you. This man used to use people like me with spirits to destroy other people's and other people's lives and business. And that night he used me for 5 hours. My husband actually had to plead, bring my wife back. I can see my wife is dying. I was purple. I was cold. And when I came to myself, they had to put me blankets. They had to sit on top of me because I was so cold that I thought I was going to die. And this man, he became, for 2 or 3 days after that, I didn't feel good that day, but 3 or 4 days after that, I felt like I was better. I felt like I was lighter. And one time it became addiction. I used to go this man, he started as one time, and it was times in my days, I used to have business. I used to go 3-4 times a day to see this man. I was so addicted to this power, because for a couple of hours I used to feel good. Then when that thing goes, I feel bad again and I have to go. It's like, I never took heroin, but I hear people talking about heroin addiction. This is almost the same thing. I couldn't survive with this without this man's help. And for many months I was subject, I was under this man's influence. And when I tried to by the time I met Rian and I share with Rian what all this is about, and Rian told me, this is a very evil thing, this man is just using you, and we must cut the ties and we must pray that you will not go back. You can share with them, it took me quite a few months to get rid of this thing. This man used to control me.
Tell them, at one stage, after you stopped going there, he threatened
you. He threatened me.
He
used to phone my home. He used to, because, you know, by the time my husband became his friend, because he was also Muslim. And it was like, to me, it was like he says, I help you, you can't go with me, and I am in control. It was a time that I had no control of my life. This man was like always in control of my life. And my husband, he couldn't see the wrong, because you know what, this man is helping you, no, this man wants to help you. But he used to threaten me when I tried to pull back, when I tried to not to go there anymore, because I could see this is problems. This man used to threaten, used to intimidate me, used to phone the house, and used to say to me that if you don't come, I will destroy your family. And if it wasn't that I met the Lord, probably by now I'll be dead, because that man had a lot of power. He was power enough in that man to kill me.
But you used to, at night, you used to feel that he...
My TV is quite weird, but it's true. My TV and one of my cupboards used to crack, and I knew that he was a presence in my room. And I used to feel many times next to me, not my husband, but something else. And weird things that used to happen in that room. I used to see things with my eyes open. And I was used to feel a lot of...
Often when you used to have those, when the TV would crack, then you would get very sick.
Very sick. Yeah, I'm almost like a fit. You know, yeah. Like I couldn't control myself.
After, she would feel this presence come into her room. She would hear the things begin to crack, and then she would know that there is something, this man is there. And then she would start losing control completely. And it was like he would take control over her again, and he would cause all sorts of problems. And sometimes they would actually have to take her to hospital, that she was so sick. And he had threatened her that he would destroy her life.
Even though I was already through in deliverance, and this man used to phone me to say that if you're not coming, this is what I'm going to... And I must be honest, then we moved house, and he tried many times to come after us, and it was quite weird.
Okay, now, as she was going through deliverance and we were dealing with one thing at a time, I said to her, listen, yeah, it is time for you to deal with this thing. And in the beginning you were a bit afraid, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
She was actually afraid that we should pray about this because of him threatening her and telling her what would happen. Now, Satan's kingdom is built on fear, intimidation and manipulation, because those are the three legs that witchcraft stands on. Without those things, witchcraft cannot work. And it took me quite a while to explain to her that God, she had seen the power of God and she had experienced the power of God, but she remembers what this man had said. And eventually she came to a place where she said, you know what, I'm ready, we have to deal with this. And we began to pray, and immediately when I began to pray with her for this...
Tell them what happened that day that you prayed for me.
Yeah. She fell down, and immediately a spirit began to speak, and the spirit spoke. When I asked him to give his name, he actually gave the name of this person that used to control her. He said that is his name. And I asked him what he is there to do, and he said that man had said that he will kill her if she ever leaves him, and that's why he's there. He's there to kill her. And he took responsibility for many of the times that she had been very ill and close to death, and they had to take her to hospital and all sorts of stuff that had happened. And obviously this thing had to go. So I commanded this thing to leave, and it was a bit of a battle to get rid of it. Now, the interesting thing that happened, you remember in the beginning she said that when this man used to begin to put her into the trance, he would take her wrists and he would rub them very quickly.
Yes.
And suddenly her wrists went all funny, and I mean, you can't even imagine.
It was like a lump. It came forward with blood. It was actually weird.
It was like on both her wrists, the veins began to actually pop out.
They start walk over
and my. It was like a big balloon was just coming out, full of blood, all over her wrists, and that is where this obviously this man's evil had entered there, and it had to start coming out of the same place. And when she had eventually been delivered, when the thing was gone, she looked at her wrists and she asked me, what have you done to me?
Yeah, it was bruised.
There was these big bruises, but it was because that's how these spirits actually had to leave her. All right, I want us to continue. Fatimaki, you did not just go to witch doctors. You did not just go to fortune tellers. The Bible says give the devil no place. Can you maybe give them an idea of some of the other things that later on, when you began to understand the Word of God, that you know that you did, that gave the devil so much place in your life?
Yes, unforgiveness, hatred, blaspheming God. Many times I used to say he's not God, because if he's God, the world will not go the way it goes. And if he's a God, where is my God? I used to speak that way. Pride. If you do something wrong to me, I'll come back to you and I'll sort you out. And I made a contract with the enemy once. I had a friend that used to say to me, if you ask the devil, he used to say, the Satan, for money, he will give you every money that you need. And you know, it was just, I was just about to open my first business, and I did that. I went to Satan and I say, if you give me what I desire, I'll give myself to you. And that was a big mistake. That's one of the things that I did. I wasn't a saint also. I did a lot of damage into my own life.
Fatima, you mentioned unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Now, you've prayed with me for many people, and you've seen what unforgiveness does to people.
It rotted you inside.
Yeah. You see, unforgiveness is one of the acceptable things in the church. A lot of church people will not go to a witch doctor. They will not go and see a fortune teller, because somewhere along the line they figured out that this is wrong. But they got no problem sitting in the church, having massive issues with somebody else out there. They won't talk to the person. Their hearts are full of bitterness and anger and resentment towards this person. And sometimes there might be good reason why they feel that way. Because people can be ugly. People can be mean. People can do things that really hurt us. But you see, what you also have to understand is, as a child of God, you cannot do what the world will do. You see, the world will tell us, yeah, no, it's okay, you must hate them. Yeah, you must wish evil on them. Someone do something to get back at them. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, forgive your enemies. The Bible says, unless you and I are willing to forgive our brothers from our hearts, God will not forgive us. Do you know how many times we have prayed for people to be delivered? Then the evil spirit will not come out. And when we eventually manage to find out why he won't leave, it's a link with another person, and that the individual we are praying for refuses to forgive. The other night, three weeks ago, we prayed for a young girl. Yeah, it was very interesting. I can't remember exactly. Can you remember why we prayed for her?
No.
I can't remember. But anyway, she had some issue or some problem, and we prayed for her, and she fell down, and this evil spirit began to fight. It was just fists flying and kicking and screaming and yelling. So anyway, we began to command the thing to leave her. And the next moment, the thing spoke back to me, and he said, I don't have to leave. I said, why don't you have to leave? He said, because I've got place. I said, what is your place? And one of the things that he said is, she's not forgiven so-and-so. And it was a girl that she was at school with. And apparently this girl had done something very nasty to her. And from that day, she'd walked around with bitterness in her heart towards that girl. And the demon would not leave until she forgave. After she forgave, the spirit came out quickly. But until she was ready to forgive, that spirit would not leave. Pride. Fatima mentioned pride. Pride is not just a problem that men have. Men and women can both have pride, but I have seen that sometimes men have a lot more pride than women. You know, we come from a generation where we were told that cowboys don't cry. Men apparently are not supposed to show any kind of weakness. And apparently in this world, it is seen as weakness if you love God. It is seen as weakness if you can have a relationship with God. So a lot of men are just too proud. You know, one of my buddies is going to think if I go to church and I get all happy clappy and, you know, all of that type of stuff. My friend, you can't have an attitude like that. Because the thing is, when your friends die and when you die, then it's you and God.
Yes.
Then their opinion doesn't count. You know, there used to be a billboard on the way to Walkerville. I don't know, I think it's removed now. But it used to say, there is only one lifetime and it will soon be passed. And it is only what you've done for Jesus Christ that will last. And those are very true words. Those are biblical words. You see, if we try and please people, if we are full of pride and we are worried about what people think of us and the way people perceive us, pride will come just before the fall. And we need to deal with that pride. We need to get rid of it. I'll give you another example. A lot of people sit in the church and they've got so much problems, their life is falling apart, but they will not get up and say, please pray for me. They will not come forward and say, listen, yeah, you know what, I really need help. That is pride. And you can't afford to have that pride in your life. Satan was kicked out of heaven because of pride.
Yes.
Don't go doing what he did, because what he did caused him to fall. If you do what he did, you will fall like he did. I often have people phone me, then they say, please, I need you to pray for me. Then I say, come on a Wednesday night and we'll pray with you. Yeah, but you don't understand. I don't want to come in front of all of those people. What is talking? It's pride. It's pride. Everybody doesn't have to know what you're getting prayed for. But people don't want to show other people that they got problems. Because we've worked so hard to create the illusion that we have a perfect life. Please get real.
It's just about image. People, they put a mask and an image.
Absolutely. Fatima Ki?
I must say something.
Yes, say something.
The Lord, the first thing that He touched my heart, strong, it was about unforgiveness. And until I didn't find people that I had to say sorry, I was very ill. Do you remember?
I do.
And the first one, it was my mother-in-law, the woman that I hate so much. I had to say sorry for something that I didn't do it. But the Lord, He set me free right there. And you know what? It was the best thing that I ever did, to say sorry for those that hurt me. Not that I hurt them, but God, He did something good there.
I want to end off by talking about something else. You used to come and see me. Oh no, let's put it this way. The first time that I prayed for her took a couple of hours. And then when I left, I said to her husband and to her, you know what, this is not over. You need to phone me and make an appointment and we need to sort out this stuff. And they both said, yeah, no problem. And then I just never heard from them again for probably about 6 months, eh?
Yes.
And then one day, a couple of months later, my phone rings, it's her husband. Ooh, pastor, please, big problems. Okay, all right, so I went there and I prayed with her. I was there most of the night until the wee hours of the morning. When I got there again, she was in a total fit. She was not in control of her life, in control of herself. And we cast out a whole bunch of spirits and she was back. And again, I spoke to them about this and again they said yes. But again, I never got the phone call. Fatima, why did you guys never phone me? Tell the people.
Because the demons, they used to speak to me and say, if you call that man, we kill your family and we kill you. And I was afraid of something happened to my kids.
So they would use scare tactics to try and stop you from persevering.
The persevering.
And doing what's right. What did I tell you? What is Satan's kingdom built on? Fear, intimidation, manipulation. Can you see those three things working right there? What used to happen when your husband wanted to phone me?
He has to go outside on the street, otherwise I'll break the phone.
I don't think you've got them anymore.
No.
But she actually showed me the three telephones that she destroyed. There was nothing left of them.
My husband has to go outside and close the gate to phone Rian, otherwise he has big problems in the house. I didn't want Rian in the house.
Yeah. But normally when I leave, you were happy that I came.
Amen.
Eh?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So what I want to show you is this. The devil is afraid of deliverance. He's very afraid. And he would rather try and frighten her and intimidate her, because that's actually the only way that he can really deal with this stuff, than to let her go through the process, because he knows he's going to lose in the end. It took a while, but he lost. And he will always lose if the person that you work with is honest. I want to say something about this tonight. I can't see in her heart whether she's telling me the truth or not. I can't see in her heart whether she's being false or not. But I want to tell you something. God sees and the devil knows. And there are people that you will never be able to set free or deliver because their hearts aren't right with God and they lie. Fatima is my witness. There was a woman that I prayed for a year. And she would just take me down one road and then down another road. And just, I mean, I tell you what, she had the most disgusting life according to the stories that she was telling. Everybody was always against her and everybody was always doing things to her. But we never seemed to make a lot of progress. And then the one day, Fatima was there in the office with me. I began to pray for this woman, and the next moment this demon popped in her and I asked him, who are you? He said, I'm the spirit of lies. I said, what are you doing with this woman? He says, man, from the first day that she's walked into your office, she's never told you the truth once. And the woman heard what the demon spoke through her. I thought she was going to die right there. And after I cast the demon out, I said to the lady, now talk to me. She began to cry and she said, it's true. I've lied to you from the beginning. I've never once told you the truth. My friend, listen carefully. God knows whether you're telling the truth.
Amen.
And the devil knows whether you're telling the truth.
Yes.
And it is only the truth that will set you free. So Fatima Ki, you had to come to a place where you were willing to walk this road and persevere.
Yes.
But you got there in the end, didn't you?
I got there. He took long, but was worthy.
Amen. Now, Fatima, final thing we're going to talk about. Let's talk about the influence of the church in your life. When you had all of these problems, was there times when Maybe in your own way you try to find God. Tell the people about that.
I used to go to churches. I used to be kicked out of the churches because everybody knew me as the evil one. We don't want to hear, just take it out of here. And yes, I used to go to church for help, but no one was interested to help me.
All right, tell the people when you used to go to church, what would happen?
The moment the worshipping starts, I used to break the chains. I used to beat people up. I used to run on the chains. I used to just run around the whole church.
She's
I used
not lying.
To spit
we saw
on
it.
The person's face. I used to swear inside of the church. I don't remember all. They used to tie me up. The gentlemen, they used to take the belts out and to tie me up and put me into the back room. Yeah.
Sure. Fatima, you went to the church for help.
Yes.
Which is, how many of you know that that's the right thing to do? Okay? Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Who does he want to use to do the healing, and who does he want to use to set? Wave your hands. Come on, wave your hands. He wants to use you. He wants to use me, and he wants to use the church, the body of Christ. Now, the sad thing is that most of the churches that you went to told you to leave, didn't they?
Not most, all.
All.
He was one specific one that I'm not going to mention names, but he's one of the biggest churches in this country. One day I manifested in a morning service and that church was full. And they actually pushed me through the floor up to the rooms. And they called my husband and they told five pastors. They told my husband, we don't want to see you ever again here. You and your wife. This is nonsense. Just take her home and don't come back again. And my husband was very hurt that day. He cried. And he says to me, don't you ever ask me to take him to a church because what they did to me today, they embarrassed me. Yeah.
You see, that's sad. Because there is something that has never changed. Jesus still wants to help people. He still wants to heal people. And he still wants to set people free. And you know what, my friend? A lot of churches have this issue with deliverance because there is some kicking and there is some screaming and there is some yelling. Go read your Bible and see what happened when Jesus prayed for people. That's what happened. All right? You go read Mark chapter 1 from verse 21. Quickly, give me a Bible. Who's got a Bible here? None of you oaks in the front here. Come on, who's got a Bible here? Give me your Bible. No, but have you got that little small one of yours? Give me that Bible. Let me show you something. The book of Mark. Chapter 1, from verse 21. And they went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath day, Jesus entered into the synagogue and he was teaching the people. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Listen carefully. There was in the synagogue, in other words, in the church, a man with an unclean spirit. Now I want to ask you this question. Do you think the people in the church knew that he had an unclean spirit? Probably not. Because up until the time that Jesus came and taught there, this man probably looked pretty normal. But when Jesus walked in there and he began to preach the word of God with authority, because the Bible tells us he spoke with authority, and authority is used against Satan. And when Jesus preached the word of God with that authority, the authority began to push against that demon. And they don't like it when you push against them. It freaks them out. They hated to be in the proximity of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It often causes them to manifest and to perform. And this is what happened. Verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we got to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out. Some translations actually say the man fell down, looks like he had a fit, he was screaming, he was performing a lot, and then the spirit left him. So what happened when Jesus commanded that spirit to leave? There was an explosion, but the thing left. Hello? But you see, there's unfortunately a lot of Christians that don't believe that that stuff should happen in the church. Man, if only more of that stuff can happen in the church. Because that's how Jesus works. And you know what? Jesus wasn't stressed by what was going on. Jesus wasn't stressed by the manifestation because he came to set the captives free. But I can tell you right now that the Pharisees had a big stress with what they saw there. They would use that against him for the next 3 years. No, he just causes problems in the church. He just causes turmoil in the church. That's not good. That's not right. Rubbish. That's godly. That's Jesus doing what Jesus needs to do. And that's what we need. Now the thing is, when she would begin to manifest, listen to when she manifested. Normally when the praise and worship started. Why? Because the Bible teaches us the Spirit of the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. When we worship God in spirit and in truth, the Holy Spirit enters the building. Now you can't blame the stupid demon for freaking out when the Holy Spirit comes in, can you? I mean, he's getting big stress now. He can't handle himself. And so he freaks out. Now, what God wants us to do is notice there's a problem and deal with the problem. Unfortunately, most churches, in fact, as she says, all the churches that she went to, dealt with the problem by kicking her out of the church. Did Jesus kick this man out of the church?
No.
What did Jesus do? He kicked the devil out of the church.
Yes.
And that's what we need to start doing. We need to start kicking the devil out of the church.
Amen.
You see, this demon had no problem coming into the church. But when the anointing was there, he had a problem staying in the church. We need that anointing. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke. Fatima, that day the five pastors tied you up.
Yes.
And there was a big fight, wasn't there?
With the belts, yeah. It was a fight. My husband says for a long time they couldn't figure out what was happening, and my husband says one of them, he was actually hurting me. I didn't felt anything. And after when I came to myself for such a long time, the first thing that they told me was nonsense. We don't believe in this nonsense. We don't believe in this behaving. I want you to just go and never come back. Forget about us. And we did went. And months later, I was at the Glen. I was passing by and I saw this man. Actually, I recognized him because you know what? I changed more than he changed. And when he saw me, he looked at me and probably in his mind he thought, I know her. And I passed and this man came after me and on my shoulder. He asked me, you are Fatima? I say, I am. He says, man, you look different. Yes, I look different because God, he came into my life. And he was one of the pastors that he kicked me out of the church.
Guys, we don't want to kick people out of the church. We want to kick the devil out of the church.
Amen.
Amen. Now, how many of you can see that the Lord has done a miracle in her life?
Amen.
Now, here's the good news. The Lord has many miracles. And if he can do a miracle for her, Fatima, would you say that he can do a miracle for them?
For everybody.
You see, that's just how God is. He came to set the captives free.
Amen.
He came to heal the brokenhearted.
Amen.
He came to give life, and life more abundantly. For her, for me, for you. So here's what I want to do. Please close your eyes. All of you. If you're sitting here tonight and something that Fatima said or something about her testimony spoke to you, and you know that you also need God. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've never really met God. You've heard a lot about God. Maybe you've heard a couple of testimonies. Maybe you've even read your Bible, but you've never come to a place where you've really had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To you, the term born again is just Christian slang for something weird that you don't understand. Then I want to say to you tonight that the Bible says unless we are born again, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And Fatima's life began to change the day that she prayed and asked Jesus into her life. Yes, from that day on there was a big fight. But before that day, she could not win the fight. She would lose the battle and she would lose the war. Jesus doesn't just want to change her life. He wants to change your life. She's standing here today as living proof. And you know what? She's definitely dealt with her pride. Can I tell you why? Because some of the stuff that she shared with you here tonight is very personal. But she didn't mind sharing it with you because Jesus has set her free. And when Jesus does something wonderful for you, you can't keep quiet. You have to talk. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you know that your life used to be right with God. But then came problems. And the Bible warns us that there will be problems. The Bible warns us that there will be storms. The Bible tells us there will be a day of evil in everybody's life. Even in my life and your life as Christians. But sometimes we don't like it when those days come. We get very upset. We get angry. And unfortunately, sometimes we take it out on God. And you heard what Fatima said, there's no God. If there is a God, why are there tsunamis? If there is a God, why are there earthquakes? If there is a God, why is there all these wars? That's the devil's influence in people's lives speaking. Well, you don't have to live that way. Jesus came to set you free. If you feel that something about her testimony spoke to you, if you feel that you know that you need Jesus in that area of your life, or you don't know Jesus at all and you just need Him in your life, period. Or you feel that maybe I've drifted away from God and it's time for me, like the lost son, to come back. Everybody close their eyes, and if you feel that that's spoken to you, just raise your hand. All right. Now, I know that you're not looking, but that's two-thirds of the audience. So there's a lot of people here that need to make right with God tonight. And how can I now leave knowing that and doing nothing about it? So here's what are we going to do. I would like all of you, while your eyes are closed, to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you are the only way to God, that you died on the cross for all of my sins. Lord Jesus, I confess to you, I've messed up a lot. I've willfully committed sin against you. Please forgive me. I confess to you, Lord, I've done many stupid things that have given the devil place. And I'm really sorry. I choose today to repent. I am sorry for these things. And I change my life today. I'm turning around and I'm going the opposite way. I know my life must be fixed. And I've tried a lot of things, but they cannot work unless you are the power behind it. Holy Spirit of God, I open my life to you tonight. I open my heart to you tonight. And I invite you in. Please, Holy Spirit, I don't want to exist. I want to live the life Jesus has for me. Give me the strength, give me the power, and give me the victory. I thank you now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I turn my back on the things that I've done. I turn my back on my past. And I turn my back on the power of darkness. Lord Jesus, please touch my eyes tonight. And may the light of Jesus Christ, the glory of God, begin to shine in my life. And from today, show me the way you want me to go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God. Amen. Now I want you all to look at me. Based on the book of John, chapter 20, and verse 19, if I'm correct, and onwards. Verse 23, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. The other English translation says, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. So I want you to listen to me carefully. I make a declaration over your life tonight, that the Word of God says that I have the right to tell you tonight that your sins are forgiven. I don't care about the affairs that you had. I don't care about the money that you embezzled. I don't care about the lies that you've been telling. I don't care about the despicable things that you have done to either yourself or other people. The Word of God says right now you are a new creature in Christ. The old things are gone. And God will make everything new. The Lord bless you.